morning and welcome to our service of worship this day, Christ the King, Reign of Christ Sunday, and also the day of our annual chili cook-off. And so you're more than welcome to stay after for some delicious chili, and then after that to help decorate the sanctuary for Christmas, because it is almost here. Advent begins next Sunday, and at the back of the sanctuary, you'll find Advent devotionals, paper copies, and they will also be available online if you'd rather read through your ebook or your e-reader, and I'll send out a link for those as well. So, big day here. Do indeed stay afterwards and join us in Fellowship Hall for chili if you can. This week is Thanksgiving. There won't be any dance on Thursday mornings, but the Shaler North Hills Library will be open to dance at 10 a.m. We have our annual Thanksgiving morning dance. So if anybody feels like dancing Thursday morning, please come up for that, but not down here at church. And I believe there was one more announcement that was really important that I was supposed to make, and it's completely gone from my mind, and I think that's a normal cognitive aging. Yes, Arlie. Yes. Oh, Betty Manise's birthday card. I am going to go visit Betty Manise on Thanksgiving. And Pastor has a card that you will put in the back and you can sign that. And there's another one there as well. There's two. Oh, Pastor brought one and there's another one. Oh, this is wonderful. This is great. Two birthday cards for Betty, and I will give her your well wishes on Thursday. And now I'd like to invite Peggy to come up as we share for you a moment for mission.
And when I got back to my swamp, I croaked my guts out for 3 days. But, and there's always a but, I received thoughts and prayers and cards and letters and words of comfort and heart emojis. People care. And it's why I'm sitting here today, not in a puddle of tears.
The thoughts and prayers really work.
They work. And don't you remember when you had to have surgery for that wart? You had your wart taken off. Yes. And it was prayed for you in church. Your heart felt lighter.
Yes. It is true. Thoughts and prayers do work, but I just don't know how to do something else. I want to do something.
We've all been where you are, and I'll be there again too. But life can be overwhelming, especially when you think of all the needs in the whole world. But, and it's all the world, we all can do something. There are many ways to help. The best way to help somebody is to help somebody.
It's true.
There are ways right here in Glenshaw Valley you can help.
With thoughts and prayers?
Thoughts and prayers, yes. But there's more. There's action. There's a call to action. And opportunities for mission. Like right now, you can serve on the deacons. They have some great things planned for next year. And let me just read about it. We're going to partner with a local elementary school to help their struggling families. We're going to partner with other churches to feed the hungry at the Pleasant Valley Shelter and the East End Cooperative Ministry. We're going to send email reminders about when and where how people can help if they like. And you take all that doom and gloom and you put it in a letter. We can write letters to Congress. You can write letters to members of the church who might be hurting. There's lots of ways to reach out in love.
That's really cool.
It really is. And the session is looking for members too. People who can brainstorm about new ideas, how we can use the church to serve the community, and people who can help work with the many groups that are already using our facilities.
I had no idea.
Yes, and if you want more information, you can talk to Pastor Ing. She's here somewhere. She can put you in touch with the right people.
Okay, I will do that. But I don't know, what difference can one little toad make? What difference can one little church make?
Dude, you aren't just one little toad. And this just isn't one little church. We're part of something much bigger, something that can't even stay in a building. It's the whole body of Christ. There's no walls. But even as one little toad, you can make a difference. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you can make a difference by reaching out in love to the person right in front of you.
Okay. I'm going to start by talking to Pastor Ing or Pastor Tom or Mr. Cliff. He's in charge of the session.
That's a great idea, friend. Don't you feel a little bad?
I do. And with the gifts that God gave me and working with the children of God, I think I can make a difference. Do you think I can do something about that whole Engelbart Humperdinck Leonard Skinner tribute band thing?
Let's start slow. Let's start slow.
Okay. After dance on Thursday, I said to Peggy, you're going to do this thing with me, and I got a hat for you. So it was great. But we do hope that if you're interested in serving on a board here at the church or in being a part of one of the many different ministries that we're hoping to continue and get involved in, just see one of our smiling faces, and we'll hook you up. And now let us begin our worship of God in another way, with our call to worship inspired by Psalm 46. In this present time, no matter what passes before us,
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
As earth shakes and nations are in uproar,
God is present with us and is our refuge in times of trouble.
As the world trembles in fear and worry,
may we find stillness and peace, knowing God is God of all.
Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing together verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn number 367, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Please pray with me. Divine grace, Jesus promises paradise to his neighbor on the cross. No matter what transgression the person has carried out, Jesus still promised a future filled with hope, mercy, and filled with love. And yet, even when we pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we like to limit paradise for our neighbors. We quietly ask, what have they done in their lives that they must ask for, receive assistance, and lack health? Yet what we don't realize is that their misfortunes are not for us to judge. Beloved God, open our hearts wide to mercy, both in receiving and in extending it to others. May we shun judgment and open our hearts to a paradise here on earth where all your children can abide in peace and wholeness. Amen. Beloved, through the words and acts of Jesus, we experience peace, hope, and grace. God's love is beyond limits and will move us to open ourselves to the beauty of infinite mercy. Amen. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was begotten by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love. Peace be with you, dear ones.
I've always wanted to be related to somebody famous. And I keep looking and hoping I'll find someone famous and I can say, oh, I'm related to that person. Hasn't happened yet, but I know someone who's related to someone who's famous. Cliff Huff told me this morning that he is a descendant of the Mayflower, two families that were on the Mayflower. Isn't that wonderful? And so, you know, when you have your Thanksgiving turkey, tell the people at your table, I know someone whose family came over on the Mayflower. I think that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us, Cliff. Ing and her cohort this morning, we're going to have to change that. That wasn't a moment for mission. That was several moments of hilarity. And so thank you for that. That was wonderful. Which leads me to say that our covenant pastor was honored this past Thursday evening at the Shaler High School as Alumni of the Year. And that's a kind of a big deal, because if you would ever look at the list, it's a really impressive list. I don't know how you got on that list. But she got on that list because she is an ambassador of love all through this community. She really is. And so we're grateful for her ministry, and it is right and proper that the community also express their thanksgiving and joy in her life among us. I did bring a birthday card. It's not needed. I put it back in my briefcase, so wherever it is back here. Betty Manise is 102 years old on Wednesday. I don't know if I've ever been a pastor or leader of a church of someone who was that old. I visited her last year. She was keen of mind, sharp and wit, and we trust that when Ing is with her on Thanksgiving Day. See, that's why she's the alum of the year, you see. She's going to spend her Thanksgiving Day that way. And so we're grateful for that visit, and we're grateful for Betty's reaching 102. Please sign the birthday card before you leave this morning. Now, this is a special day in the life of the church. Not only is it the last Sunday of the church year, next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, is the beginning of a new church year. This is the last Sunday of this church season. And many congregations, Catholic and Protestant, will be celebrating Christ the King Sunday. That's this Sunday, Christ the King. Audrey says, don't talk so much, just pray. But I just need to let you know what an important and what a notable Sunday this is. It started in the Catholic Church, Pope Pius XI, 1925. He had been Pope for 4 years, and he looked over the world, and he didn't like what he saw. There was a growing militarism in Japan. A new constitution in Japan had said that their emperor was divine. And then they began to build up their military to take over part of the world eventually. There was in Russia, 1929, the communists had come to power, and a man by the name of Joseph Stalin became dictator of Russia. In 1925, 4 years before that, Mussolini became dictator of fascist Italy. As he looked over the world, he saw these movements of authoritarianism and militarism and secularization. 1933, Adolf Hitler became dictator of Germany. In 1939, Franco became dictator of fascist Spain. So communism and fascism and militarism began to spread all over the earth. And when the pontiff looked at all of that movement and this change of governments and all of that hatred and racism and meanness, violence that was already begin to spread across the world, he pronounced a new festival for the church, and Protestants picked up on it. So Catholics and Protestants together celebrate Christ the King, Christ the King Sunday. Let me just give you a paragraph of the official Presbyterian understanding of that. This is what our church says. Christ reigns supreme. Christ's truth judges falsehood. As the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Christ is the center of the universe, the ruler of all history, the judge of all people. In Christ, all things began. And in Christ, all things will be fulfilled. In the end, Christ will triumph over the forces of evil. Such concepts as these cluster around the affirmation that Christ is King, or Christ reigns. As sovereign ruler, Christ calls us to a loyalty that transcends every earthly claim on the human heart. To Christ alone belongs the supreme allegiance of our lives. Christ calls us to stand firm with those who in every age confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. In every generation, demagogues emerge to claim an allegiance that belongs only to God. But Christ alone has the right to claim our highest loyalty. The blood of the martyrs, past and present, witness to this truth. And then it finishes by saying, "Behold the glory of the eternal Christ. From the beginning of time to its ending, Christ rules above all earthly powers." What a marvelous statement. How appropriate at every time of history in which we live. Christ the King Sunday. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are ever grateful for your reign over us, for your patience and trust. This day we are thankful for all the joys that come to us as your people. We give thanks for signs of new beginnings all around us, from handshakes and hugs to conversations and prayers for one another. We pray for all the nations, that you will continue to be with your people in all of its struggles, difficulties. We see our world in the midst of much violence. We pray especially for the people suffering conditions of war and threats of war. Oh God, touch the leaders of every place and language, that they might find in humility your justice. We pray that people everywhere will find the path to peace and forgiveness and equality. We pray for those near around us, within our touch and in our minds and hearts. For those who are suffering, for those who struggle, for those who face daily persecution, discrimination, hold us all in your loving arms. Show us, teach us, lead us to the great power that comes from forgiveness. So may our words be ones of healing and blessing. In silence now, we offer our prayers and concerns. We open our hearts, asking that you will hear our prayer. O God, hear our prayers, and in your love answer. And bless us as we remember to pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Let us rise together in body or spirit and sing hymn number 37, Let All Things Now Living. Be seated, and would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering. Mm-hmm.
Almighty God, you are the source of all blessings, and we return a portion of our blessings that we have to you, and may they be used for the good of all your creation. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Luke 23, 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last night was Shaler Township's light-up night, and if you saw my manuscript here, I just want to make it known that I'm spelling it light, L-I-T-E, up night. Because actually the light, L-I-G-H-T, light up night, that's copywritten. And so you have to pay the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership $100 to the food bank, which isn't a bad thing. But so that's why Shaler Township is L-I-T-E, light up night. Regardless, it is a wonderful evening. There are so many people and they come from many communities, Shaler and the surrounding areas, and there's dancing and there's ice sculpture, and last night was a great opportunity for me to do some sermon prep at the last minute, because there were hundreds of people running around by the library and the middle school, and so I went out and I asked about 50 to 60 people, various ages, to describe a king. And a lot of the responses were what you would expect. The king sits in a throne, has a scepter, has a sword, lives in a castle surrounded by a moat. The king has many guards. Some people said that kings can be evil. Some said kings are wise and good. And they wear royal robes and a jeweled crown. Now, last night I had my ugly Christmas sweater on. It was the Arsenal England football team sweater. And the one guy, he's a football fan too. And so he just started singing "God Save Our King," the nod to King Charles. And there were a cluster of young parents. And I knew what they were going to say because I do know them very well. But they all started chanting, "No kings, no kings." And they laughed and they high-fived because these guys are diligent human rights advocates, and they're everywhere, and they take their kids with them. And there was one guy, and I knew right away how he was going to answer, because when I asked him to describe a king, he did that Elvis lip curl, and then he said, "There's only one king, Elvis Presley," and he did the thank you very much. But nobody said Jesus. And certainly no one described a king anywhere near to the description we have of Jesus in our gospel today. Because this reading that the lectionary has given us for Christ the King Sunday. This king is a prisoner, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, mocked and beaten. And yet this king is still extending mercy and grace. The text is an odd one. It seems completely wrong for the day. The whole idea, though, of Jesus as king, it is a paradox. And we've seen those beautiful artists rendering through the years, through the centuries, Jesus on a crown, Jesus with the scepter. But I wonder what Jesus would think about being portrayed in that way. Because as far as we know, Jesus didn't dress that way. He didn't live in a castle. He wasn't far removed from the hoi polloi. When he fed the 5,000, he sensed that people were going to take him by force and make him be their king, and he slipped away. Because that wasn't what he wanted at all. And when Pilate asked him if he is indeed the king of the Jews, Jesus didn't say yes. Jesus knew that he came to bring about a new kingdom, that he came to rule, but he also knew that his reign, it wasn't going to be anything like the earthly kings. It wasn't going to be, he couldn't be the leader that the people wanted in a king and an emperor. And I wonder, is Jesus the kind of leader most of us would want today? When I posed that question, a similar one this morning at Mount Nebo, there was a first grader in the back. And when I said, would we want Jesus for a leader today? Her head shot up and said, yes, 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 yes. And that touched me. Pretend for a minute that this is a children's story, a children's sermon, and we're the kids gathered around the youth pastor. And the pastor says, does Jesus of Nazareth have the right things that you want in a king, in a leader? Now, you know, if you've ever been a kid in a children's sermon, you're going to say, yes, yes, Jesus is the best king. Yes, yes, Jesus is the one I want to follow. But come on, Jesus, a king? Don't we want a macho leader? Don't we want a king, a leader who's going to raise his fist proudly and promise to smite all of his enemies? Doesn't that mean we're on the strong side? I was at the library, this was a year ago now, and there was a patron talking with a woman who works down at the desk, and it got a little political. And I knew this guy a little bit, and he's a faithful churchgoer, and about in his mid-40s. And he said, Jesus would be a terrible president. Now, I jumped in there. I know he really loves Jesus. I know this guy. I mean, he goes to church all the time. He's very involved in his church. And I said, well, can you say more about that? And he did look kind of sheepish, and he said, I mean, a president needs to be tough to be on the world stage, and Jesus' way wouldn't just work on the real world stage right now. So, what does work then? I wonder if every country had a prime minister, a president, a king, a leader who was less concerned with getting even and more concerned with understanding. I wonder what it would look like if every world leader had compassion and mercy and tenderness even on those who were executing him. One who stood in the margins and empowered those in the margins. I wonder what that world would look like. And I think it might look like the kingdom of God. Amen. And let us rise together in body or spirit and sing our final hymn, number 648, with thankful hearts and voices. Rise.
This day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.